Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, August 4th, 1985. The prayer of my heart is that this service will be an uplift in your life as we worship together around the precious Word of God on this beautiful Lord's Day. This time our choir is going to sing a number that goes right along with our message today. I'm going to preach the homecoming message, my homecoming message today, and Brother Marshall will preach his next Sunday. The message mainly will be to Christians, but I trust if you're here and don't know the Lord yet, that you'll be found searching for Him and looking to Him for salvation. If Brother Tom comes at this time to lead the choir. This time, Brother Tom is going to come to read our scripture for us, Brother Tom Watts. Before he does, I'd like to mention these prayer requests. I know during the past few weeks that the Lord has been very near and dear to some of the members of our church. Brother Adam Feltner had a near escape again in the mines. And I'm glad you're here with us today, brother, still breathing God's air. They had to dig out of the mines just a few days ago, maybe a few weeks now. But I know God is in control. Ms. Rao and two other ladies were driving up to La Citadel just a few days ago and were sideswiped by a truck. And Maggie Whitaker is in the hospital. We want to be praying for her today. All three of those ladies could have been in eternity today, but God was with them. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we're not leaving until He gets through with us. And so we want to praise the Lord today, first of all, for God's protection in these two instances. God is still up there watching over us. I'm thankful for that. We also want to continue to pray for these listed here in the bulletin. I know God's certainly able to bless in each instance. And Brother Tom is going to come to read our scripture for us at this time and lead us in prayer. Brother Tom.
Okay, the scripture is taken from Philippians, the first chapter, verses 27 through 30. Only let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, again for another day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you so much, Lord, for our salvation. Lord, we thank you for our health. There are so many things that we could just continue to mention, Lord, that we just take for granted. But, Lord, we thank you for the love that you give us daily. We thank you for the Bible, Lord, that we can read and study and become better Christians. And, Lord, again, we pray for the ones that's been mentioned this morning. And, Lord, we thank you again for giving these people that's been mentioned safety. Lord, we pray that you'll be with Brother James this morning as he brings a message that if there's anyone here that's lost, they'll come to know thee before it's too late. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The final congregational number that we have, I'd like for you to turn to 373 and notice how this is worded, the title of it. Onward, Christian soldiers. Onward. Onward. The Lord wants us to go onward. Not backward, but onward. And I'm glad today that we can go forward as a church and as individual Christians, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Brother Tom leads us in this congregational hymn.
Okay, let's stand and sing first, second, and fourth stanzas. 373.
Christ the royal master leads us.
like to ask our youth ushers at this time to come forward. Matt, would you come and help take the offering? And Wally and Tim. And prayer, Tim.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you let us come out to your house today. Just want to pray that you bless us and keep us. Pray to Dad as he brings a message that will speak to our hearts. Just want to ask for us and your help.
Today we'd like to take two words from the 27th verse of Philippians 1 that Brother Tom read for us a while ago as the title of our message. Striving together. This doesn't mean the fighting. We're going to look at what the word strive means in just a little bit. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're glad that you're here today. And I want to ask Ray to come up and lead us in prayer before the message. All right, Ray? Brother Ray Hoskins, we're glad he's with us today to help celebrate his dad's birthday. We're going to ask him to lead us in prayer before the message this morning. We appreciate you, brother. God bless you.
Our Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts before you this morning, Father, I pray it'll be that. It'll not just be a bunch of heads bowed before you. God, that we'd open our hearts and let you speak to us. Father, we know that a message from the head will reach the head. But, oh God, one from the heart reaches hearts. And I pray it'll be so this morning.
Amen.
Father, I pray that you'll take your spirit. We rebuke the devil now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that you will wrestle him off. We know that he's here. He tries to hinder the word and snatch the word from the hearts before it can ever find its lodging place. Father, I pray this morning that you will take the message that you've already burned on Brother James's heart. And Lord, you'll burn it on our hearts. That we'd not be doers of the word, or hearers of the word, but God, we'd be doers of the word. Lord, knowing that when we just hear the word and then fail to obey, we're like a man that looks in a glass, sees himself, and soon forgets what he looked like and goes on as he was. Father, I pray now that you'll just have your preeminence in every heart and life. save that soul that's closest to hell's door today. Stir up a fire within this church that Airport Gardens will never see or be the same from this day forward. And God will be quick to praise you, knowing that it was you and not us. We ask it now and all in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ray. Appreciate you and your family being here with us. And on this Sunday before our 23rd anniversary, we want to speak on a topic that's been very near and dear to my heart during the almost 16 years that I've been here. And that is the word together. Striving together. Working together. I appreciate what the Kentucky Power Company had as their slogan for a while. I don't know if they still have it or not. But it says this, working together is the only way. A home that is a tug of war is a home where there's not much peace. Same goes for a church or any organization. Working together. And on the Sunday before our anniversary, I want to speak on these two words, striving together. We've got a job to do. And it's a tremendous job of telling men and women, boys and girls, about the Lord and what He can do and what He has done for us already. We've got a job to do. We've got a mission to perform. And that's telling the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. It's my prayer that we as a local church will be so filled with love for God and love for people that others will see Jesus through our daily life and our daily talk. The word striving here in verse 27 of Philippians 1 means to seek jointly, to labor with, to strive together for. It is not working against each other. It is working together. Seeking jointly, laboring with. My friends, we need to strive together for the faith of the gospel. This word gospel is in this one verse twice. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I'm glad today, aren't you, that He did not stay in the tomb, but He arose. Pilate said to the soldiers, go and make it as sure as you can. And they put a seal on it and set a watch. My friend, all the devils of hell could not have kept Jesus in that tomb. He arose again, victorious. And I'm glad Hebrews says that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He makes intercession. The Holy Spirit today makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans chapter 8 says, I believe it's time today that the world sees the church at peace with each other and with themselves, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I've got a statement written here that I want to read twice. It says, if we have our minds and hearts on the Lord and His mission in the world, we will not have much time to let the devil get between us and Him. If we have our minds and our hearts on the Lord and His mission in the world, we'll not have much time to let the devil get between us and Him. My friend, the Lord wants us to walk daily in fellowship with Him. He is the one who has saved us. and has given us a purpose in living. A purpose. We need the Lord today. 3 John verse 7 says, "For His name's sake they went forth." And my friends, for His name's sake, you and I need to go onward and upward. We need to go on. The Daily Bread said it like this one time in the thought for the day. If we belong to Christ, we should be longing to serve Him. If we belong to Christ, we should be longing to serve Him. He's why we're here today. I trust you'll see Him in this service. I trust you've already seen Him lifted up in this service. We're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. And my friend, if you and I will let our light shine, God will see to it that it's where it can be seen. Don't hide your light under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. There are two wonderful verses that we're going to look at in chapter 1 before the four that Brother Tom read for us. And one of them is found in verse 6 of Philippians 1. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's wonderful assurance for us, isn't it? Being confident. You and I do not have to try to keep ourselves. He keeps us. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And then verse 11 says, Philippians 1, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Being confident in verse 6 and being filled in verse 11 with the fruits of righteousness. I believe every one of us gathered here this morning are full of something or someone. We need to be filled. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Paul urged these Philippian believers to realize the one who had saved them was also able to keep them. He begins the work in us, and He keeps right on working in us until we go to meet Him. We're kept by the power of God. Our key verse today is going to be the 27th verse. There are a lot of things in that verse. It says, "Only let your conversation," and the word conversation in the Bible can mean, in some instances, our speech. But here in this instance, it means conduct or manner of living. Only let your manner of living, your conduct, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And right here are some things that Paul says he would like to hear from this church at Philippi. And Paul was writing this from prison. He says, first of all, that ye stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast in one spirit. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Chapter 4 and verse 1. My joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. In other words, Paul is saying here, don't be soon shaken in your faith. Know where you stand with the Lord, and stand. And having done all to stand, he tells us that in Ephesians chapter 6. Stand fast in one spirit. The last verse of 1 Corinthians 15 is a wonderful verse. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. It says again, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul is saying here in these verses that we've read, all of them are from the inspired pen of Paul the Apostle. We need to be steadfast. Stand fast. Stand fast. There's another one in Galatians 5 and verse 1 that says, Galatians is a book that was written by Paul to compare law and grace. Law and grace. Some people are trying to live under the law. And Paul says in chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. The liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. My friend, I'm glad we have liberty in the Lord. We have liberty to do His will. That's what He desires of us. This word liberty doesn't mean we go out and do what we want to do, but it means to do what He wants us to do and to follow Him. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 says, that we henceforth, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There are many doctrines going around today. There are people who say they're Jesus Christ. That was predicted in the Bible. That was foretold in the Bible. Said some would come on and say they're Jesus, they're Christ, and shall deceive many. I want to first of all say to us as a church, as individual Christians, stand fast in one spirit. In one spirit. Notice the next part of verse 27. With one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The gospel today is worth working together for. Who is the gospel centered in? Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's centered in Him. As I already said, it includes the death. And we have to have all three of these. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now, this is what baptism in literal water teaches. It's a picture of Jesus' death. He died. And I believe that with all my heart. He died. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, says in three places, it mentions the soul of Jesus. It says he poured out his soul unto death. He died. He was buried. You know, when they came and brought the other two, they brought the two thieves' legs. They came to the central cross. And it says, they break not his legs because he was already dead. He died. He said, it's finished. It's finished. That the scripture might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. It includes his burial. Friends, I'm glad it also includes his resurrection. His resurrection. Water baptism is a good picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, not only of Jesus, but of us as a person who has been resurrected from the dead state of sin to alive in Jesus. With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Verse 29 of Philippians chapter 1 says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him. Now that's first. That is the first step that we talked about last Sunday. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. It's given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, put your faith and trust in him, but also, and we tend to shy away from this, Belief is first, but suffering is next. Not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. We need to be willing, if need be, to give our life for Jesus. To lay down our life for him. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He was buried for you. He arose for you. He ever liveth in heaven to pray for you and for me. We need to believe, that's first. But we also need to be willing, if need be, to suffer for his sake. For his sake. Paul said that I may know him. This is in Philippians 3:10. When I was going to school back in the 50s, we had this as our theme verse. In one of the organizations I was in, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. That's first. That I may know him, not just about him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, of being made conformable unto his death. I'm glad today we can know him. Following Jesus means, first of all, believing on him. And then suffering for him. Jesus, in one of the Beatitudes, in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What are we supposed to do? Crawl in a hole and pull the hole in after us? No. It says in verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I had rather go to heaven from a bed of suffering than to hell from a flowery bed of ease. It's not an easy road, but I know this. The Lord is going to be with us every step of the way. If I know nothing else, I know this. The Lord is with us. Before Janetta Clemens' mom went to be with the Lord, this is a verse I tried to stress every time almost I was with her there in the hospital. The Lord has promised us His presence. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Following Jesus means believing on Him and, if need be, suffering for Him. I had a student at Big Creek when I was teaching there who came to me one day, and she was a Christian. She said to me, "They're really giving me a hard time." I gave her a verse in 2 Timothy 3:12, that says, "Yea, and all." That didn't leave anybody out. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We don't have to go around and say, I need some persecution. Give it to me. I'm a follower of the Lord. Give me some persecution. No. My friend, if you and I will live the life, don't worry. Persecution is going to come. Because 80 or 90% of the people are on the broad highway to hell. And you're going up. It's going to come. I love verse 29 of Philippians 1 that we've just been talking about. "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him but also to suffer for His sake." How many people know that you're a Christian? Where you'll be going to school? Where you work? How many know you're saved? I thank God also for some verses in chapter 2 of Philippians. Starting with verse 12 in closing our message today. Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." You know, we can't work out any salvation unless something's been worked in. I can't give you anything from God's Word unless God, first of all, has given me something to give to you. And my prayer is, as I believe it's 1 Peter that says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." And my prayer is that every time that you come here to worship, you are going to get some food for your soul. It's my prayer. We need to work out what God's worked in. It says, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Then look what verse 14 says, Philippians 2. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author. God is the author of togetherness and peace and love and harmony. That's what God is the author of. My prayer is that we'll strive together. If the Lord should see fit to wait a few more years before He comes back, my prayer is that our church will go onward, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Isn't that a wonderful verse? No one should ever be able to point a finger at us and say, if that fellow is a Christian, I don't have anything to worry about. Without rebuke, that's what that means, I believe. Without rebuke, you may be blameless and harmless. The sons of God, the children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You're a light. If you are a Christian today, upon the authority of God's Word, you and I are lights. And let your light shine, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I believe that's, when we let our light shine, someone is going to see that there is reality in serving Jesus. This is not just a thing we do on Sunday, as I mentioned last week maybe, but it's a life that's lived on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Christian life is a life. It's not a sideline that we just serve the Lord when we feel like it. But we serve the Lord every day. Every day of our life, we serve Him. We bring honor and glory to Him, or should. I thank God you're here this morning. My prayer is during this invitation hymn that if you have never believed on Jesus, that today would be a wonderful day in your life. When you say yes to Him. If you're here as a Christian, and the Lord is speaking to you, has spoken to your heart about some matter, my prayer is that you'll follow the Lord today as we turn to 346 in our hymnals. Let the Lord have His way in your life today. Where He leads me, 346, as we stand prayerfully to sing.